Nothing lights us up more than helping people grow their wealth through multifamily investing in a way that actually feels good and makes sense where they are right now. That's exactly why we created the Where Am I Now Multifamily Assessment.
Here's the thing, no two journeys ever look the same. Maybe you're just starting out and simply curious about what's possible. Maybe you're dipping your toes into your really first passive investment, or maybe you're craving that behind the scenes peek at how it all works.
You might even be gearing up to go big and acquire your first deal, or ready to scale your portfolio to new heights by teaming up with strong partners who can help you grow like never before.
Instead of tossing you one size fits all advice, boring and not helpful, this assessment zooms in on your exact stage of growth.
It helps us get to know your goals, your challenges, and what gets you most excited about building wealth through multifamily investing, so we can hand over the tools, resources, and support that actually moves the needle for you.
The best part? It only takes a few minutes, but the clarity you walk away with, that's the magic. Think of it as your roadmap to what's next.
Ready? Head to kittysisters.com/whereaminow to get started. That's kittysisters.com/whereaminow.
If you've ever handed someone money, a real estate deal, a crypto fund, a can't miss opportunity, and thought this could change everything, you need to hear this, because sometimes the thing that builds your wealth can destroy it.
And what we're about to share isn't gossip, it's a wake up call. Two major stories just shook the private investing world. One involving Ty Lopez, retail e-commerce ventures, and the other, Daryl Hiller and Dave Sook's prestige ATM funds. This isn't dramatic headlines, it's about what most people don't see behind the headlines.
Hello, I'm Pommy.
And I'm Nancy.
Together we make the Kitty Sisters. We're apartment syndicators, entrepreneurs, and educators with big dreams and a $300 million multifamily apartment portfolio.
We're into helping successful entrepreneurs and founders who have a passion for real estate and $100K to $5 million to invest, all aiming to turn their business profits into a lasting legacy through income-producing asset investment.
This is Cashflow Multipliers, a podcast dedicated to your financial freedom and the lifestyle you deserve.
Palm, so what's the rub?
We're talking about $500 million gone. The SEC recently charged Ty Lopez and his team for allegedly running a $112 million Ponzi scheme tied to brands like Radio Shack and Pier One. And in a separate case, Daryl Heller, Dave Sook, and others connected to prestige ATM funds were charged in a scheme involving about another $400 million in investors' losses. So the question isn't how could they? It's how can you make sure your next investment doesn't teach you that lesson the hard way? Stay into the end. The last 2 minutes will change how you look at every investment deal you're in.
Exactly. You can't eliminate risk, but you can learn to see it sooner. We're breaking down what went wrong, the red flags most people miss, and how to spot them before the next can't miss deal lands in your inbox. And just to be clear, none of the individuals mentioned here have been proven guilty in court. These are allegations, not convictions. Everyone is innocent until proven guilty.
By the way, if you're new here, I'm Pommy.
And I'm Nancy. Together, we make the Kitty Sisters, two immigrant girls who started with $2,000 in the bank and built a $400 million multifamily real estate empire.
We raised over $130 million from investors, protected them through every market cycles, and our mission to help you build your wealth the honest way while everyone else is chasing hype. Let's unpack what happened, because this isn't just about Ty Lopez or Dave Sook. It's about a pattern that repeats itself every few years.
And the truth is, it can happen to everyone. Who invests with hope but skips due diligence.
You know, like, this reminds me of us. Like, in fact, we were part of similar webinars on presentations about investment opportunities. And at that time, we were so excited. Wow, 20% plus guaranteed returns. I think we even jokingly talked about, hey, if we were able to put in $500K, $500,000, get 20% per year guaranteed, that can be what we live off of.
And that's like a six-figure annualized return.
Yeah. And we thought, like, wow, it's amazing. And you know, the irony of the situation isn't because we were smart enough to avoid it at the beginning when we first got into the investment world. The irony is that the only reason we weren't scammed was because they didn't let us in, because there was such a long waiting list because of the outsized returns, the guaranteed returns, that people were just, there's a queue. And at some point, once we discovered multifamily real estate, at that point, like, that notion of guaranteed return, it was like beaten out of us. We realized that's not a sustainable, or that's not a real,
even possible,
realistic investment opportunity. And that's why after that, we never looked into it again. But at the beginning, we were susceptible to this scheme as well.
And we actually always tell our investors, these are all projections. Yeah. These are not guaranteed.
And our deals.
And past performance doesn't guarantee future performance.
Yep. That's why for us, like, once we understood what real investments are, risk and rewards profile. We've been really clear to our investors, hey, you have a chance to lose money, but it's something that you can mitigate through actually doing your due diligence and understanding the asset class that's underlying your investment.
And also do the due diligence on the human behind the deals.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's unpack what actually happened here, because this isn't just about Tai Lopez or Dave Sook. It's about a pattern that repeats itself every few years.
And the truth is, it can happen to anyone who invests with hope but skip due diligence.
Exactly. These are allegations, not verdicts, but the lessons behind them, they're real.
You remember Ty, the here in my garage guy with the Lamborghini and the books?
Yes, that one. The SEC claims he and his team defrauded investors out of about $112 million.
Their pitch sounds innovative. Buy nostalgic brands like Radio Shack and Pier 1 and bring them back to life online.
It was a perfect story. Nostalgia meets e-com. But according to the SEC, the profits were smoke and mirrors. Investors' monies was allegedly recycled. New money used to pay old investors.
So basically, according to the SEC, a Ponzi scheme set up.
Exactly. That's the accusation. And reportedly, about $16 million went towards their personal expenses.
So they weren't selling products. They were selling a dream and people bought into it. Now, this next case bring it closer to home.
Yes, Daryl Heller and Dave Sook's Prestige ATM funds. Between 2012 and 2024, they raised about $700 million from investors. The pitch, every time someone withdraws cash from an ATM, you earn fee.
Simple, predictable, it sounds safe.
Exactly. That's what made it so dangerous. Lawsuits alleges that most of the ATMs didn't even exist. Some were sitting in warehouses. The claim is that Prestige told investors that they had around 38,000 ATMs, but allegedly fewer than 10,000 were actually purchased and fewer than 1,000 were even in operation.
Meaning the returns investors were getting
came from new investors. When new money stopped, the whole thing collapsed.
We know people, and some of them are actually our investors, who lost real money in debt. But what hurt most wasn't the loss itself. It was a betrayal of trust.
That's the thing that really hit home for me, because honestly, the investors that we know that had money in this fund, they're immigrants like us who came with nothing. I mean, some of them, I can see their faces just floating as we're talking, and it's so devastating because for them to scrape enough money to invest in these type of funds, it's a lifetime of work. And to have it be destroyed because they trusted someone that was reputable, that was supposedly someone that has done this, had the track record, is just devastating. The thing that actually got me really upset and kind of gave me like a mini existential crisis at the beginning was the fact that these people didn't have to promise these oversized returns. Because like us, when we do our multifamily deals or even new development, we have development deals where we tell our investors, hey, there's no cash flow for years because we're building something. We don't have people
renting. It's raw land.
It's raw land. And that's the thing that I feel like I always really enjoy the way we raise money, because we tell people exactly how it is. And the thing that people fear, and this is my internal interpretation of why these returns were promised to begin with, is because I think the people who are raising deals were afraid to raise money when they had less returns as projected. For us, I don't think that's ever a fear. I think we feel like we should tell our investors straight up what's happening. If there's no cash flow, we're going to tell you day one, don't expect cash flow, but here's the upside. If there's small amount of cash flows, this is why, and here's the upside. And it's up to the investors to decide if it makes sense for them.
And if there's no tax benefit until year three, we just straightly say there's no tax benefit. You're just investing for generational growth.
Yeah, because like every investor, and I think like this is a lesson, if you ever want to raise money from anyone, to recognize that number one is don't be afraid to raise money, even if you can't guarantee 20-25% return. And in fact, I would say never guarantee returns, because it's impossible. When you're investing in equity, we don't know the market conditions. We don't have a crystal ball. We cannot tell you, hey, day one, this is exactly going to happen and it will happen. So I would say number one is never guarantee anything. The number two thing really important is that know that there's investors out there who are happy with a 5% return, but there's some who needs 10. There's some who don't care about cash flow, who want appreciation. So it's more about understanding what your investors are looking for, what their appetite is today, because it could have changed from yesterday or 5 years ago. And then also understanding what asset class matches that. If you want to have really high risk and you know you can get like 1,000% return, then go invest in some random crypto fund. But if you want something stable, something predictable that's been through the test of time, something that is one of the key fundamental human needs according to Maslow's hierarchy of need, which is shelter behind just water and food, then you invest in real assets like multifamily real estate.
And a lot of our investors, they don't look for cash flow. What they also love about real estate is the tax benefit, right? Because taxes are basically a series of incentives for for what the government wants us to do, right? And a lot of them are high income earner accredited investors. So that's what they look for. But always, always say the truth, be real, because a lot of these investors, like our investors, just want to invest in real assets.
Yeah, so that's the point. The main point here is that don't feel desperate to raise money and do unscrupulous things. Number one, it's really immoral to do. And it's just like one of the...
And you only have one shot with them if you do like, just one.
And it's their, maybe that's all the money they have. So it's up to you to take this responsibility seriously and don't do that. We're like beating a dead horse here. It's like when you go into an investment and you hear people promising guaranteed returns, and that
one word, run. Yeah. You always talk about trust marketing. Mm-hmm. What does that mean?
It's when people sell credibility instead of deals. So they show up on podcasts, panels, masterminds. I can think of a few right now who had really done wrong by their investors or did something wrong to their investors and show up on these panels, like whitewashing everything about what they've done in the past. So yeah, they show up, they sell themselves as credible based on the numbers of views or the number of clicks and likes versus actually fundamentally their performance. And you start thinking, you keep hearing their name, they must be legit.
Meaning repetition becomes reputation, even when it's not earned.
Exactly. That's why we lead with transparency, not guarantees. If someone only feels confident when you promise returns, they're not investing, they're gambling. And look, every investor needs to evaluate not just the numbers, but the logic. If the market average in that industry is 8% return and someone else comes by promising you 25%, ask yourself, what's the mechanisms? What's the risk that justifies that return? That's why we love multifamily real estate, because no matter how technology changes, like we mentioned earlier, people always will need a place to live. Clean, affordable housing in high demand areas will always create opportunities. But things like ATMs, we live in a world of Venmo, Zelle, Apple Pay, cashless, everything. And it's only growing. So therefore, there's really no justification why ATMs are going to grow. In fact, their decline wrapped in nostalgia. And that's the same thing that goes for e-com nostalgic brand like Radio Shack, once thriving because people need to actually go to the physical store. Now the internet makes those obsolete. Without like revolutionary products, like think of iPhones, etc., they become obsolete. Why do you have to go there? It's a really model that's really fighting a losing battle.
Okay, side question.
Yeah.
When was the last time you went to an ATM machine?
Okay, I haven't been to one in a long time. And secondarily, these aren't the ATM machines at the bank where if you withdraw money, you have a Bank of America account, you withdraw money from it, it's free. These are high fee machines that are typically at places like bars, clubs, etc., where people used to actually have to physically withdraw money to go buy a beer or buy a bottle of wine, etc. But now, like we just Zap Pay. You can play Venmo, you can pay with Zelle. You don't even have to have cash. Right now, we're traveling abroad in Thailand and they are such a payless society. It's kind of annoying.
Because it's like a pain in the ass.
It's actually a pain for us coming here because we try to pay for like an Uber-like ride and they're like, oh, you need to scan the payment. We don't have the scan app that they use. And so okay, the opposite can be true. Become kind of painful to live in a society that's cashless when you're the only two who have cash to pay. So yeah, so when you invest in an industry that's dying, it's plain as day. And people can try to sell you stories, but you guys are smart, logical people. Do not get clouded by the promise of returns that clouds your actual judgment. All the time, the people who are investing in these type of deals, you are highly educated, highly successful individuals. So bring those kind of like thoughtfulness, that critical thinking skill from your everyday life into your investment opportunities. And the simple questions like we just asked is like, does it make sense? If people, like for us, if we were doing new development and all of a sudden we're like cash flow day one, you should say Palm Nan, like how is that possible? You have no income coming in yet.
You have no buildings.
You have no place for people to live. So you have to ask logical questions that aren't, neurosurgeon levels, but just basic things that speaks true to the nature of that investment. And again, I'm not speaking from a position of holier than thou because we definitely would have fallen. Okay, especially me. I get very excited when there's
big returns.
Nan has to pull me back. A side story, a few years ago, a friend told me about, I think he was doubling his money every 2 weeks in some sort of Forex thing. And he told me, Palm, I have an opportunity to bring you in. I told her and she told me, hey, we have way too much to lose to get caught in some sort of scam. So we're not doing that. But I'm like, but the returns are amazing. And she's like, no, cannot do that. So either, develop those critical thinking skills or have a sister who has it.
Or have a nan.
Have a nan. Have your own nan. If you have your own nan, you're going to be safe from these scams.
So for everyone who's watching, how do you protect yourself from this?
So here's where you start. So these are not obviously the all and all be all, but five simple filters that you use on every time you want to invest. Number one, follow the money. If someone can't clearly explain to you where your dollar goes, walk away. So this is where you call it like uses of the funds. What are they going to use the money for? Are they using it for development? Are you building buildings? Are you buying an apartment? Are they now in this case, like, are you buying ATMs? Then you also secondarily, so this is the part where it's harder to validate ATM versus an apartment building. And here's a story. So ATM machines are spread out throughout the country. And allegedly in the SEC filing is that they had some sort of a list of ATM machines, purportedly the entire list in somewhere near Pennsylvania. And when investors go there, they'll say, hey, let's go visit the ATM. And they purportedly would randomly select from this list. But that list was sort of rigged already so that every time they go, that place will have an ATM machine. They're going to be smart enough to not have a phantom ATM on this list, right? It's just logical sense. But when you do at apartments, you actually see the buildings. So here's the story. A couple weeks back, we visited our built-to-rent townhome development in Texas, and we took some snapshots. And I emailed one of our investors because he's our friend. I just texted him like, look at the progress. So he physically can see the changes happening over time. And then another story that I have about this is a deal that we have in Rogers, Arkansas, an investor. And it was funny because when he texted me, I was like, why are you going there? But he was explaining that he was in town for a business trip. So he wanted to get the address of the property so he can tour it. And the thing that he texted back was how impressive it was, because this was the first time he's actually visited one of the apartments that he's invested in. So he can physically see the apartment building. In both scenarios, it's really easy to validate the existence of the property itself. One, we were building and we were reporting every step of the progress. You see it from dirt to running the sewer lines to building the framework of the townhomes themselves. And now, you know, you have cabinets, tubs, everything starting being put into the unit. So you physically can see that. But when you invest in some things that are less easily verifiable because they're not tangible, either they're like cryptos or something else, or ATMs that are spread out across the country.
Yeah, especially if you have like 30,000 plus ATM machines, right? Like location. Yeah, that means you have to go like...
You can't validate it.
Yeah, it's impossible to go like 30,000 plus location.
Yeah, it's impossible for you to validate that. So,
but not saying it's not real. We don't know.
The point again is that invest in something that you can easily verify, because you guys are smart people. The logic is there. You can see, follow the money. Like we said, what is the money used for? And then validate if it's used for that. Like for our development project, we said we're using this money to build the units. Well, you can physically go see it. Are we doing that? If we're doing that and there's progress, then that's very easily verifiable.
And we loved it that our investor asked to go visit, right? Yeah. Because it's something that we are so proud of, to turn dirt into like an entire neighborhood.
That's the thing. Like, we are really proud when we have these developments, because it's seeing something that we told them on paper and it's becoming something real. So we're very proud of that. Number two, be allergic to guarantees. Every investment carries risks. So if someone promises guaranteed returns on equity deals, that's not confidence. That's fiction. So run away, right? Number three, check alignment. Are they investing with you, or are they just using you to fund their fees? This is significantly important for us when we do our projects. We get our chunk money when the deal does well. When our investors get the returns that they're happy with, the ROI, they're getting the return on their principal and they're making a profit, that's when we profit. So we have a clear alignment of interest. And even if we didn't, we have a fiduciary duty to protect our investors' money. So clearly, make sure you have an alignment there. Number four, demand transparency. Ask for reports, financials, and make sure that you get to read them and understand what they look like. I mean, a lot of people who invest in deals, sometimes you don't understand how a P&L reads, and then you get them and you can't really see. But if you understand the P&L numbers, it's clear. There was an example of a frustrated investor, not ours, who's a friend of ours, who said, I can't believe these two people who I invested with refuses to give financial reports on a monthly basis. And in fact, told him, if you want financials, you have to pay me for it.
Wait, he's an investor?
He was their investor.
Oh my goodness.
And then you know what? I mean, and this is really the sad part. Like, what ended up happening was like, they actually lost all their money. I'm not saying because they didn't send the financials, it was because of some sort of fraud, but because they didn't send the financials, none of the investors saw what was coming later down the line, that they actually lost the property because they couldn't fulfill their return or performance that they were expecting. So in any investment, when possible, at least for us, in multifamily apartments, we provide monthly financials. That includes a newsletter that summarizes the operational process that's happening, good things, bad things, what's happening on the property. But we also provide clear financials. We provide the P&L statement, which is the profit and loss. And you can go through the entire category from income, from total income to the property mix, to all the mortgage payments, say the cash flow that the property produces. Everything is lined up on this one document. We even provide rent rolls that allows you to review the rents to see, hey, is it matching up? A lot of investors don't dive deep, but at least the information is there. Some investors do dive deep, and I respect that they ask these really poignant questions. They demand that kind of transparency with us. So if there's any question whatsoever, they always feel free to call us, email, text us, and just ask us, and we'll make sure to get the information back to them as quickly as possible. Number five,
trust your gut.
Intuition is data. If something feels off, it probably is.
And a bonus rule.
Okay, this is a bonus for you guys because you stuck to the end. Never let anyone rush you. If it's real, it'll still be there tomorrow. Don't let the false scarcity scares you. Of course, there's instances where you don't get to invest because it's oversubscribed, because you can only take a certain amount of investors. We've had deals where in a few days, we've completely raised the funds and someone comes back a week later, the opportunity is gone. But the clear thing here is that that specific opportunity is gone. It doesn't mean you don't get to invest ever again. So never feel compelled to rush into anything. For us, when investors ask us, hey, I need time, I need to think about it, we always tell them, sure, think about it. No rush.
Yep. If you guys have any question, just ask us. Feel free to ask. We're here, right?
Yeah, we're never going to rush you. If you're not ready, fair game. We don't pressure sale. If the investment doesn't feel right for you, we don't want you to be in that investment, because not only is it going to cause you to have distress, but it's also something that we don't want to deal with. If someone is on the fence, hey, don't worry. There's a next deal. An example of this, one of our investor, Ed, he's soft committed. Basically, he's written express interest in deals for the past 7 years. And he hasn't invested. And the cute thing about Ed is, like, after these deals close, he'll email or send a message saying, hey, guys, I know I subscribed, but I didn't do it. And I didn't subscribe. I soft subscribed. I just expressed my interest and I actually didn't go through with the investment. I'm sorry, but I'll look at the next one. And we're always telling Ed, like, no worries, Ed. Like, no worries at all. And then until recently, he actually ended up investing after several years of not doing it. And that only happened because we didn't pressure sell him.
He found a deal that he actually liked that fits his internal investment criteria that, you know, that he liked.
And that's exactly the point. For us, if you're an investor, we want you to be our investor for life, not our investor for every deal. If the deal makes sense for you, you invest in it. If it doesn't, we're never going to pressure sell you, and we're never ever going to guarantee returns that is impossible to guarantee.
The market doesn't just test your money, it tests your judgment.
You can't remove risk in any investment. 100% for sure that's the case. But you can remove blind trust. That's how real wealth is built.
Honesty might not raise the money the fastest, but it raises the safest.
Absolutely, because trust isn't built on hype. It's built on truth every single time.
If this episode helped you see things a little clearer, share it, because one conversation like this could save someone's financial future.
We can't wait to begin this journey with you. Check us out at thekittysisters.com/podcast.